Good morning. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Now he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out to the outside of the camp. Thus the priest shall look, and if the infection of leprosy has been healed in the leper, then the priest shall give orders to take two live clean birds, and cedar wood, and a scarlet string, and hyssop for the one who is to be cleansed. The priest shall also give orders to slay the one bird in an earthenware vessel over running water. As for the live bird, he shall take it, together with the cedar wood, and the scarlet string, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the live bird in the blood of the bird that was slain over the running water. He shall then sprinkle seven times the one who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the live bird go free over the open field. The one to be cleansed shall then wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, bathe in water, and be clean. Now afterward he may enter the camp, but he shall stay outside his tent for 7 days. And it'll be on the seventh day that he shall shave off all of his hair. He shall shave off his head, his beard, his eyebrows, even all his hair, and he shall then wash his clothes and bathe his body in water and be clean. Now on the eighth day he is to take two male lambs without defect and a yearling ewe lamb without defect, and 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, and 1 log of oil. The priest who pronounces him clean shall present the man to be cleansed and the aforesaid before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Then the priest shall take the one male lamb and bring it for a guilt offering with 1 log of oil and present them as a wave offering before the Lord. Next, he shall slaughter the male lamb in the place where they slaughtered the sin offering and the burnt offering at the place of the sanctuary for the guilt offering. Like the sin offering belongs to the priest, it is most holy. The priest shall then take some of the blood of the guilt offering, and the priest shall put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. The priest shall also take some of the log of oil and pour it into his left palm. The priest shall then dip his right hand finger into the oil that is in the left palm, and with his finger sprinkle some of the oil 7 times before the Lord. And of the remaining oil which is in his palm, the priest shall put some on the right earlobe of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on the blood of the guilt offering. While the rest of the oil that is in the priest's palm, he shall put on the head of the one to be cleansed, so the priest shall make atonement on his behalf before the Lord. The priest shall next offer the sin offering and make atonement for the one to be cleansed from his uncleanness. Then afterward he shall slaughter the burnt offering, and the priest shall offer up the burnt offering and the grain offering on the altar. Thus the priest shall make atonement for him, and he shall be clean. But if he is poor and his means are insufficient, then he is to take one male lamb for a guilt offering as a wave offering to make atonement for him, 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering and 1 log of oil. The 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons which are within his means, the one shall be a sin offering, the other a burnt offering. Then the eighth day he shall bring them from his cleansing to the priest at the door with the tent of meeting before the Lord, and the priest shall take the lamb of the guilt offering, the oil of the log of oil, and the priest shall offer them for a wave offering before the Lord. Then next he shall slaughter the lamb of the guilt offering, and the priests take some of the blood of the guilt offering, put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot. The priest shall also pour some of the oil into his left palm, and with his right hand finger the priest shall sprinkle some of the oil that is in his left palm 7 times before the Lord. The priest shall then put some of the oil that is in his palm on the lobe of the right ear, on the one to be cleansed, and on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, in the place of the blood of the guilt offering. Moreover, the rest of the oil that is in the priest's palm, he shall put on the head of the one to be cleansed, to make atonement on his behalf before the Lord. He shall then offer one of the turtle doves or young pigeons, which are within his means. He shall offer what he can afford, the one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering, together with the grain offering, so the priest shall make atonement before the Lord on behalf of the one to be cleansed. This is a law for him in whom there is an infection of leprosy, whose means are limited for his cleansing. The Lord further spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "When you enter the land of Canaan, which I give you for possession, and I put a mark of leprosy on a house in the land of your possession, then the one who owns the house shall come and tell the priest, saying, 'Something like a mark of leprosy has become visible to me in the house.' The priest shall then order that they empty the house before the priest goes in to look at the mark so that everything in the house need not become unclean. And afterward, the priest shall go in and look at the house. So he shall look at the mark, and if the mark on the walls of the house has greenish or reddish depressions and appears deeper than the surface, then the priest shall come out of the house at the doorway and quarantine the house for 7 days. The priest shall return on the seventh day and make an inspection. If the mark has indeed spread in the walls of the house, then the priest shall order them to tear out the stones with a mark in them and throw them away at an unclean place outside the city. And he shall have the house scraped all around inside, and they shall dump the plaster they scrape off in an unclean place outside the city. Then they shall take other stones and replace those stones, and they shall take other plaster and replaster the house. If, however, the mark breaks out again in the house, after he has torn out the stones and scraped the house, and after it has been replastered, then the priest shall come in and make an inspection. If he sees that the mark has indeed spread in the house, it is a malignant mark in the house, it is unclean. And he shall therefore tear down the house, its stones, its timbers, and all the plaster of the house, and he shall take them outside the city to an unclean place. Moreover, whoever goes into the house during the time that he has quarantined it becomes unclean until evening. Likewise, whoever lies down in the house shall wash his clothes, and whoever eats in the house shall wash his clothes. If, on the other hand, the priest comes in and makes an inspection, and the mark has not indeed spread in the house, and after the house has been replastered, then the priest shall pronounce the house clean because a mark has not reappeared. To cleanse the house, then, he shall take two birds with a cedar wood and a scarlet string and hyssop, and he shall slaughter the one bird in an earthenware vessel over running water. Then he shall take the cedar wood and the hyssop and the scarlet string with the live bird and dip them in the blood of the slain bird, as well as the running water, and sprinkle the house 7 times. He shall thus cleanse the house with the blood of the bird and with the running water, along with the live birds and with the cedar wood and with the hyssop, with the scarlet string. However, he shall let the bird live bird go free outside in the city into the open field, so he shall make atonement for the house, and it shall be clean. This is a law for any mark of leprosy, even for a scale, and for the leprous garment or house, and for swelling, and for a scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when they are unclean, and when they are clean. This is a law of leprosy. Amen. So chapter 14 is kind of two different parts here. The first one is dealing with how to cleanse a leper, and the other part is dealing how to cleanse the leper's house. And so this goes into the whole discourse on purity and cleanliness and these type of things. So now when a leper is presented, so before it said that he is presented before the priest and everything. So now Moses is laying out exactly what happens when they're presented before the priest. So if the inspection goes through and they find that the leprosy is not spreading and all those things are happening, what ends up happening is that those individuals, they are to bring an offering before the Lord, and they go through the very ceremonial cleansing, just like the other offerings, the grain offering, the sin offering, the wave offering, the same system. But now there's a little added dimension, and they take the two birds, live birds. So they, of the two, they kill one of them, and then they take that blood, and you know, it's the right earlobe, the right hand, and the right foot. And it's a way of marking and consecrating the leper. Now this is very similar. I mean, it's very symbolic, very similar to, if you remember, that the tefillin, and where they put the lamp over the head, and there's in the Jewish rite that they have a leather strap, and they wrap it. It's basically the scroll, wrap it over the head, and then they wrap it over the arms, and it goes down. And what that represented was, you know, the word of God that enters my mind also is made effective as I walk it out. You know, so in other words, to the Hebrews, it wasn't just an idea of, you know, the Word of God is in my head. In other words, it's not just a cognitive reality. The Word of God is strapped to my head, but also goes down my arm by this leather strap, which means that how I act upon the Word is just as important as is being in my mind, which is, I think, is a quite powerful statement. And so in this regard, it's the earlobe, right? So you think about the head. It's the hand, it's the action, and it's the feet. It's where you're led to. And you think in this way, the Lord provides the cleansing. Okay, this is kind of like thinking of the partnership. The Lord provides the cleansing. He has provided the sacrifice. You're now free, set free. And then the oil is, and obviously the work of the Spirit is, you know, direct correlation. And how that operates is it's your mind, right? Is your mind is sanctified, and then your actions, your arms, the things that you do with your hands, and then where your feet lead you to. And so it's talking about really the wholeness of our bodies coming into sanctification. If you guys did GIC, remember 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and then purify us from all unrighteousness. And so the work of forgiveness, the work of the Lord, is not just to cleanse you, but it's actually to keep you from sinning. It's to purify from all unrighteousness. And so it's the same idea in the Spirit that you're now, your sins are forgiven you, you're cleansed, and but now it's the work of the Spirit to continue to empower you to remain cleansed. And so, you know, you have, you know, this whole thing running through here during this time. Then he relates about the leper's house. And it's interesting, he makes a statement, when you enter into the land of Canaan. In other words, this didn't happen yet, they're still in tents. So now the Lord is making a provision of, okay, one day you are going to have your own land. You're going to have your own. So it's actually a word of promise and of hope. You know, when you enter into the land of Canaan and you are going to own your own house, I mean, pretty exciting, you know, for the people to recognize, you know, while they're in journeying, while they're, and you'll notice that the Lord will bring this kind of encouragement all throughout the discourse. And so he's encouraging them, even you're in the leprosy, even all these things are happening, even though we're sojourning, even though we're in the wilderness, when you enter in Canaan and you own your own house, this is how I want you to operate. So it's a word of hope in the midst of the instruction. And I think that's quite I think it's quite nice of the Lord to do that, you know, to the people in that regard. But it also says, but there's leprosy, and they don't know necessarily, because the passage can be read a couple different ways. One, it could be, you know, where he says, "I put a mark of leprosy on a house in the land of your possession." And so it could be, I mean, in one extreme way, it could be said that God gave them leprosy. I mean, obviously, we don't think that's, you know, that's what the text means. You know, the other way, another view of looking at it is God just announces what's already there. You know, he for, you know, whatever reason, he allows this particular thing to happen, and so he's just making that announcement. That's most scholars believe that that's kind of more along those lines in that regard. And so when that happens, and now there's this whole discourse about operating in the house and how you should go, and it's almost the same reality when it's talking about the clothing the chapter before. And so now, but now you're talking about a house and their dwelling. And so he goes through the whole aspect of this. Well, let's close with this part, which is this really beautiful imagery. So what you see, though, through all this thing is you see the bird that is a sacrifice and the other bird that's set free. And it's really, to the leper, it's this beautiful symbolism of that they are really free. You know, I mean, you can imagine, you know, they're going through this, a lot of stress, a lot of trauma, a lot of cleansing, a lot of blood, a lot of things going on. And the one bird sacrifices so that the other bird could be set free. And it's this incredible symbol of freedom as it flies off into, you know, the sunset and over the fields and, you know, and all these things are happening. And it's such a beautiful picture of the one bird. Obviously, you know, I mean, I've never really called Jesus a bird, but it's really the bird that sacrifices so that the other bird could be set free, and really becomes a real symbol of that freedom. You have to recognize, someone always is paying the price. You know what I mean? someone always is paying the price. In the Christian life, and you know, actually not even in the Christian life, in the world today, some people are sacrificing on behalf of other people. That's just a real simple reality, you know. I have a tremendous amount of respect for our military, you know, as an American, you know, just knowing that, you know, these young guys are going off and fighting and risking their lives and whatnot, you know, police officers, you know, whatever, to benefit other people. You know, we call it noble and all these things, but when you really come down to it, someone is sacrificing so that others can benefit from it. And what I think the directive of God to the church is, that's what he asks us to do. He asks the church to sacrifice so that the world can come to know him and to be saved of their sins. Unfortunately, a lot of people are unwilling to sacrifice, you know, in this regard. And it's, you know, I had a, I don't know if I share this, but I got an email this week. And, you know, I was just relaying to one of our church members and saying, you know, we're praying for you all the time. Like I said, it might be a good idea for you to come to EMP, you know, once in a while. You know, the church is sacrificing, praying for you. And, you know, the least you can do is come and join those prayers, you know, except, I mean, it's typical, right? Just very friendly. You know, it's not meant to, you know, in any bad way, but just a friendly way of saying, hey, you know, get off your butt and come join the prayers. And this person emails me and says, well, it doesn't really work in my routine. And, you know, like, it just doesn't. And I'm like, I seriously, I mean, I didn't even respond. I was like, really? I mean, really? Is that, you know, is that your attitude? And, you know, and I mean, I was really dumbfounded in that regard. It's like, wow, the unwillingness to sacrifice when others are sacrificing on your behalf. And the sad thing is, that's most of the church today. They just want to come and just be fed. They want to come and just be entertained. They want to come and just enjoy, you know. And but I mean, there's other people that are, you know, in it in a very different mode and different way. But it's just a really sad commentary on the modern church. And so let's close our eyes today and, you know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Are you a contributor, or are you merely a consumer? When we think of these birds, one bird was sacrificed so the other could be set free. Now, we hope that, you know, we're not martyrs, right? I mean, needless martyrs, and we're sacrificing all the time because you need to be that bird that's set free as well. So maybe that's a message for you. Maybe you're sacrificing too much. You know, maybe you're too much of a martyr, and you need to have a little change of course a bit. But let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. You know, that same way. Are you a consumer, or are you a contributor? And especially as we talk about this house, Solomon's Porch. Thank you. speak to us about those two birds, the one that sacrificed and the one that gets to be set free. Pray for a heart that we are willing to sacrifice, we're willing to trouble ourselves for the benefit of other people. That's precisely what it means to be Christ-like in that regard. Christ died and sacrificed himself for the benefit of others. And so let's pray and ask God for that same kind of heart in our own lives. Let's ask God's hand to be with our friends that are battling diseases. And let's pray for our Holy Spirit to bring healing, to bring a tremendous amount of grace into their families during this very difficult moment. Let's pray. Cancer-related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. God's provision. Thank you. our mission focus, and let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's ask God's hand to be upon our city. Let's pray over all the protests, and I think the government's going to start clearing out some of those places. Let's pray that there'll be no violence. Let's continue to lift up the government before God. Pray for against the wealth gap, revival. Pray for its place in terms of China. Let's lift up the churches here all over. Pray for our ministry friends and partners, YWAM, particularly SSI, Shanti, Masters Beauty, and Sons and Daughters. Let's pray for Face to Face, Feed the Hungry, CSW, the Korean Church. And let's ask God to just really bless and anoint our friends that are ministering to make this city wonderful. Pray for a real spirit of wisdom and unity that we really come together to seek God's face on behalf of the church. Let's pray for our community center, our Igape, the homeless ministry, SP Lights, Freedom Bridge, and Mother's Choice, and just really asking God to build this house into an outreach center. With this in mind also, there is an outreach or retreat this Saturday. If we could just cover that time as well, and really pray for Tim and Janella, as they're really busy organizing all the events and things. It's from Friday night and all day Saturday. Let's also cover the retreat this weekend. Pray for IP. Ask the Lord to cover Matt as he leads tonight, and Pastor Hyunsu with SPU, and for our GIC class. Let's pray that every participant would just grow in their love for God through all our ministries going on tonight. Discover, our two house churches, McCain and Discovery Bay, tonight. I ask God's favor as they not only discuss but practice hearing God's voice. Let's cover. Sacrifice, Lord, for the way that you love us, God. Even while we're yet sinners, Lord, you died for us, and we'll never forget that in our hearts, Lord. And help us to live lives, God, today that are worthy of you. We thank you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.